Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am beginning a brand new series, and this is going to be on the power of hope. I've ministered this now a couple of times. I ministered at our U.S. Ministers Conference, well, also our U.K. Ministers Conference at the end of 2012. And I tell you, it was really powerful. A lot of people, this spoke to them and really helped them. And I think it's going to be a real blessing to you. Right before I get into that teaching, I want to give you an update. Many of you who watch our program have heard me talk about our Charis Bible Colleges. And we now have 34 different campuses scattered throughout the world, and that number is increasing nearly month by month. And it's just really exciting about all that God is doing. But all of this is causing so much growth that we've outgrown this facility that we're in. And it's actually been nearly 4 years ago that I started praying about how do we accommodate this growth. And it was 3.5 years ago that I actually went and met with Oral Roberts not long before he died. And I tell you, that man, you know, I don't agree with every single thing that happened with him. He probably doesn't agree with every single thing that's happened with me. But, you know, I respect the fact that God has used him, that the miraculous has flowed through him. And he's been a visionary. And when I got around him, it just stirred something up on the inside of me. And I really came to a place where I just knew that I needed to start thinking bigger, that God had raised up our Charis Bible Colleges to be a major impact in the body of Christ worldwide. So anyway, it's a long story. The short of it is that this led me to believing that we needed to establish a Charis Bible College campus where we could accommodate at least 3,000 people. This started us on a process, and 3 years ago, it was September of 2009, we finally bought a piece of property, 157 acres, and for 3 years we've been in the process of trying to get permits to raise money to start the construction. And in September of 2012, we finally started moving dirt. And we have now, of course, I'm making these programs that you're seeing at least 2 months in advance. And so, you know, it's further down the road than what I've seen with my physical eyes. But I know that by the time you see this, we should have the walls for the bottom portion of this building that I'm calling the barn. It should be poured. They should be putting in possibly the floor of, they would be putting in the second story floor, which would house this bottom portion of this building called the barn. There's going to be 90,000 square feet, so it's a huge building. And that should contain the bottom portion, so they should be able to work all through the winter. And also, they're going to be putting up prefabricated sides on the second story of this building. It's going to be a total of about $33 million, and that's not just for this building, but all of the excavation for the second building where there's a 2,500-seat auditorium. I'm excited about it, and I really believe that in the long run that the Bible College is going to be the number one way that God has given me to affect people. You know, we're already seeing this. We've got Bible schools now in many different countries, and many of these countries, they've met with the presidents, the government leaders of these countries. We've got just inroads. We are seeing, in Uganda, over 500,000 people discipled. And then I've got an opportunity to go to a people group that has never been reached and share the gospel with these people. And I think that through training these leaders, that these people are going to be able to go places that I never go. They're going to touch people, and I really believe that we are beginning to make a worldwide impact through our Charis Bible College. And I just wanted to inform you of what's going on. Thank those of you who are helping us, because together I think we are making a huge, huge difference. Now, as I said at the beginning of the program, what I want to begin to do is to start teaching on the power of hope. And, you know, there's a lot of scriptures on hope, more than what I'll be able to quote all of these things on our program. But let me just use one passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse of this chapter that is often called the love chapter. It says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity." Or charity is the old English word for God's kind of love. "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity," God's kind of love, "these three. But the greatest of these is charity." It lists hope right along with love and with faith. And if you take this as charity or love being the greatest, well, then that would make hope the second most important, and then faith the third. Now, I'm not trying to diminish faith any at all, but I am trying to put an importance upon hope. And, you know, there's a scripture where Jesus said men's hearts would fail them for fear, looking after the things that are going on this earth. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are meant by that, but I think one of them is that people, instead of having hope, which is a positive view of the future, people are going to have fear and dread about the future. And because of the lack of hope, men's hearts are failing them for fear. You know, if you're paying attention today, I don't think anybody can argue that people are more hopeless than they have been in the past. I mean, just if you look at the one statistic about all of the people who are committing suicide. You know, people that commit suicide are people that don't have a hope. If you had a hope, if you were excited about your future, if you thought, man, my future is so bright, I've got to squint to look at it, you would not commit suicide. People who commit suicide are hopeless people. And hope is just a powerful, powerful force. I'll be dealing with this in a lot more detail as I go through the series, but I'm just trying to present that this is important. And whether, you know, you use the word hope in a positive or a negative way, different people, you know, interpret things differently, and it may not mean much to you, but the Scripture, this is a very important principle in Scripture. Here's one other Scripture, and I'll teach on this more as we get into the series, but let me just mention it now. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You could say it this way: if you don't have anything that you're hoping for, faith can't provide substance to it. In other words, faith is actually controlled or motivated by hope. There's a lot of people that want to skip hope and just go into the faith stage. But I believe that hope is the motivator, the thing that determines how your faith works. And if your hope has been affected, instead of there being a positive anticipation of good in the future, instead, if there is dread or fear about the future, you are killing faith in your life. Boy, now that's a big statement right there. And I tell you, there's a lot of people watching this program right now that I just described to you. You don't have hope. And because of it, you're trying to believe God, but you don't have any hope. You know, we recently just went through an election, and a lot of people, I've had many people contact me, and their hope, they've heard so many negative things that if the wrong person is elected, that America is done for, and they've painted this picture, and instead of being hopeful and positive about the future, they are very negative. You know, I'm not saying that I'm in agreement with all of the politics and the way things go, but look at it this way. You know, we just went through Thanksgiving. And in 1863, I believe it was, Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States, issued this Thanksgiving proclamation and talking about that they were so blessed as no other nation on the face of the earth has ever been blessed, and it's time for us to give thanks and thank Him for all the wonderful things that are happening. And did you know that this was done in the midst of the Civil War? The outcome of the Civil War had not been decided yet. And it was the costly, if you were to take it in percentage, the population of the U.S. at that time, you know, and how many people died, it was by far the worst loss of life percentage-wise that the United States has ever been through. Plus, you add to it that the people that were dying on both sides were all Americans. Many times they were brothers fighting brothers, family members fighting family members. It was just a terrible time. It was literally tearing this nation apart. It would have been very easy during the Civil War of the 1860s to think that America is done for. And if America survives, this rift will never be solved. It'll never be fixed. I mean, America was literally in decline at a huge rate because of the resources and people, money, materials, and all of these kind of things. And it was just a terrible time. And yet here's Abraham Lincoln thanking God for His great goodness. Now, if Abraham Lincoln, during a time like that, could be optimistic and have hope and praise God for what has already happened and talk about the future, then you know what? I think that certainly, even though things may not be going the way we want it, you know what? We still can be praising God. We can still have hope. And I tell you, there's a lot of people whose hearts are failing them for fear looking after the things that are going on in this world. And hope is the antidote to it. So I really believe that this teaching on hope is going to be a powerful force in your life. It'll help you. And it's also something super practical. As we get into the nuts and bolts of this, it's going to be really practical that you will make many applications. And I promise you, this is going to make a big difference in your life. You know, one of the things that I want to do first, and this is something that I've just become convinced of over the last few years, 3, 4, 5 years. I've thought about it for a long time, but recently I have become absolutely convinced that hope is a positive imagination. And I want to explain some things here about hope that hopefully will help give you a firmer grasp on what I'm talking about by hope. When you use the word hope, it means different things to different people. But when I begin to start linking it to your imagination and going to all of the scriptures in the Bible concerning your imagination, and I begin to see this, it really brought the thing clear to me and helped me to understand what hope really is at its core. So first of all, let me just take a few scriptures on the subject of imagination and show you some of this, and then I'm going to show you from scripture what your matter of fact, let me just turn over first, I guess. Go over to Romans chapter 8 and in verse 24 and 25. Let me read these verses. It says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Now, you know, that's a little wordy in the old English King James Version, but it's saying that hope that is seen is not hope. So you can just look at this one passage of Scripture and see here that hope is seeing something that can't be seen. It goes right along with what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. He says, "While we look at things that are not seen, for the things which can be seen are temporal, but the things that cannot be seen are eternal." You know, to the carnal mind, a person who doesn't understand the Word of God and doesn't understand that we have a spiritual world and things like this, this sounds like this is impossible. How can you look at something if you can't see it? Because you can see things with your heart. You have an ability to picture things in your mind. That's what hope is. And also, the way that you do that is with your imagination. You know, right now, if I was to ask you to think of an apple, you don't think of the letters A-P-P-L-E, but instead you picture an apple. You think in pictures. Now, I'm going to be going into a lot of explanation and showing you some of these things, but this will really help you to be able to control your thoughts and to use them in a positive way instead of a negative way if you can grab hold of these things. When I say apple, you picture an apple. Now, you might picture a red apple. Some people might picture a green apple. Some people might picture an apple that's already been cut up and sliced, or you might think of apple pie, or, you know, there could be different ways that you think of it, but you think in pictures. And if I was to use my words, see, words paint pictures. And a person who's a good communicator, I believe, is a person who can paint word pictures. This is why that Jesus sometimes used parables to illustrate the points that he was talking about. He would talk about something that people had seen that they could relate to, such as the sower sowing a seed and how that seed fell on different types of ground. And sometimes it's just trampled underfoot. Other times it grew up, but it had thorns. You know, the reason that that relates and that people can retain it and stuff is because they can picture it. I often have people who will write in and they'll say, I want that teaching where you talked about dealing with the Satanist high priest on an airplane. And they will tell me about a story and we'll say, so you're talking about this teaching? And they can't remember the teaching. They can't remember what the title of it was. They can't even remember what the subject is, but they can remember the stories. Because you know what? Stories paint pictures and people think in pictures. And so because of that, we now have all of my teachings, every story that I use, every personal example or illustration, it's all categorized and a person can type in like the Satanist high priest on an airplane. It'll bring up every teaching of mine that uses that illustration and tell you what series it's in and things like this. But see, people think in pictures. They don't always remember just words, but they think in pictures. And so a good communicator is a person who will use words to paint pictures. So again, let's go back to this deal about an apple. I could say apple, and some of you picture a big red apple. Some people picture a green apple. I could change your picture by saying, let's think of a big red apple. And then I could, you know, keep describing it and talk about that, you know, the thing's getting too ripe, that you've got a worm coming out of this apple. And you know what? In your mind, in your imagination, you are letting my words paint a picture and you see these things. This is how you think. You have to use your imagination to think. You know, sometimes people think when you're talking about an imagination that you're talking about fantasy, something that's not real. But you use your imagination for reality all of the time. Like right now, if I was to say, how many windows do you have in your house? There's probably not a single person, unless you've had your windows replaced or you've had to clean them and you counted them as you clean them, or unless you've done something unusual, the average person does not sit down and count how many windows you have in your house. But you know, right now, maybe you aren't even in your house. Maybe you're watching this someplace else or, you know, whatever. You could close your eyes and you could tell me how many windows you have in your house. Not because you've written it down, not because you know this number, but you know what? You have a picture of the place where you live. Doesn't matter if it's a home that you own or if it's an apartment. Let's do something simpler just so that you won't have to strain your brain as much. But if I was to say how many outside doors in your house lead to the outside? Did you know most of you have never sat down and counted that, but you could tell me. You know why? Because you could close your eyes and you could picture your house and you could count them. I could say, how many bedrooms do you have? Now, you may know that because when you buy a house, you usually say it's three bedrooms or whatever, but you know, you could go through and you could just ask all kinds of questions that you haven't filed the facts away in your mind, but you have a picture. And you could literally, in your imagination, you could start counting the doors, start counting the windows. You could start looking in your mind, and this is how you remember things. You can't remember things without picturing them. Now, some of you may not agree with that. You may not have thought about it, but I believe that that's true. I believe I could prove it to you. Here's another example. I've used this example so much now that some people can remember this because I've painted a picture with my words. But if I was to say, think of a water blivet, did you know a lot of people just go blank there because you've never seen a water blivet? You don't know what I'm talking about. And if you can't picture it, you can't retain it. But see, with my words, I could begin to describe this, that in Vietnam, this is the way that they brought our water to us on these fire support bases where I was. You didn't have running water. Everything had to be carried in by helicopters. And they had these cylinders that were made out of rubber. They were black rubber. They had brass spigots on each end. So they were cylinders. They were kind of, instead of being square on the ends, they were rounded. So that it was a long black rubber cylinder with brass spigots on each end. There was a spigot there that you could get your water out of. And as you took water out of this blivet, the atmospheric pressure would collapse this blivet and it would just get down to nothing and it'd be totally flat. And they'd pick it up and carry it off and bring another one in. Now, that still may not be a perfect picture. But you know what? Now you can kind of picture what I'm talking about and you can remember this and you can retain it. But if you don't have any picture to put next to something, you can't remember it. You think in pictures. You remember in pictures. This is why so many people struggle with abstract concepts, is because there isn't anything to picture. Like if a person teaches math, and if you just teach it numbers, 1 plus 1 equals 2, and things like this, 12 times 12 is 144, and if it's all just figures and information, if it isn't tied to anything that helps you to picture and see how to use this. This is why so many people struggle with math. A good teacher, instead of just saying, now 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 plus 2 is 4. Instead of it just being by rote like that, what they will do is they will take things. They'll take apples and they'll say, here's one apple, here's another apple. Now how many is this together? And you begin to start teaching things and they can picture it. They can see the practical application of it. You know, a lot of people don't understand ratios. And they just don't see the use of it. I even had my son, he's going to college, and he was asking me some questions about math because I was a math major. And he was saying, what is the use of this? He says, this is useless information. And I began to teach him. I use this stuff every single day of my life. You know, I get reports. I get hundreds of pages of reports every day. And when I see those things, I will look at, like, say, the income or the number of phone calls or the number of letters or whatever, and I will use those figures and project what is going to happen this month, what our income is going to be, how many responses we've got. And people say, how can you do that? Well, here's a real simple thing. Let's just say that we have 50,000 contacts in a month, and if you have 25,000 contacts by the 15th of the month, then see, that's half of the month, and you just double that, and that would be 50. If I had 30,000 contacts by the 15th, then I'd know that this is going to be a record month. If I had 20,000, I'd know it's going to be a little less than normal. You know what that is? That's ratios. But see, now that you see a practical use for it and you see what to do with it, you can kind of picture what the usage of it is, then it makes more sense, and you could take that and you could use it. But a lot of people, they don't teach it in a way that helps people to picture and see what is the practical use of this information. And because of that, they just don't retain it and they forget it. This is your imagination. It's your imagination is the ability to see something that isn't present right there or isn't real at the moment. But you can imagine it. You can see it. I'm going to be relating this and showing you how that hope is nothing but a positive imagination and show you how powerful this is. And I think it's going to really, really help you to understand and start utilizing hope in a greater way. We're out of time today, but I do have a brand new teaching. This is the first time I've ever offered it. So listen to our announcer and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Power of Hope was recorded live at a recent conference. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, What is Hope? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Christian Philosophy for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. The lines are busy. Remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of January, he'll be in Humble, Houston, and San Antonio, Texas. In February, he'll be in Santa Clara, Anaheim, and Pasadena, California. And in March, he'll be in Overland Park and Wichita, Kansas, Norman, Oklahoma, and Colorado Springs, Colorado. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
God's basically spoken to my heart in bringing me to CBC. And me getting a hold of the message of grace and God's unconditional love has totally changed my life, my family, how I view God, how I see God, and just give me an overall better perspective on life, and it's really produced freedom.
We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. Call, write, or log on to awmi.net for more information. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life and change the world. Married in 1981 and living in Puebla, Mexico, Alex and Julie Palomares realized that they were missing a key ingredient in their lives, a personal relationship with God. 1 year later, each gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Soon thereafter, at a home Bible study, they each received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nearly 26 years, 3 children, and 11 relocations later, Alex and Julie began watching Andrew Womack on his Gospel Truth television program. They were transformed by the message of grace and faith that they heard every day on the show. They felt led to order the Charis Bible College correspondence course they'd seen advertised. Completing the first year studies by August, they decided to sell their home and move to Colorado Springs to begin their second year of studies, being totally immersed in the almost too good to be true gospel taught by Andrew and the instructors at Charis. Their second year CBC mission trip took them to the city of Querétaro, Mexico, and after completing their third year apprenticeship at CBC, they felt the Lord directing them to return there and to begin to make disciples, fulfilling Andrew's vision of 2 Timothy 2:2. Today, this energetic couple continues to change lives by teaching the truths they learned at CBC. If you'd like more information, log on to charisbiblecollege.org and click on Campus Locations.